Blog Talk Radio.
You know, this revolution is filled with so many ironies, really. First you tell us that it is manly to keep your word, right? If you are a man, you keep your word. And now all of the black people in this country are demanding, and even the black people in the whole world are demanding, is that you keep your word. You told us we were free. Well then, show us that we're free. You told us that there is justice, equality for all in this country. Well then, stick to your word. And let us see the justice and equality for all. Or else admit to us that you're not a man. You're a word. You're afraid of us. You're afraid to give us equal stand. You're afraid that if you give us equal ground, that we will match you and we will override you. And if that's what you're afraid of, then tell us that just what you're afraid of. But don't keep hiding it from us and holding this up to us. And every time we ask you for something, you give us a little bit of something. And it's all tokenism. We don't want tokenism. And there are most black men in this world that don't want charity. And yet still every time we ask you for something, you give us a little piece, a little piece. You're playing games with us. We're not children. We're big men. I've seen my father have to put up with all kinds of stuff. He was a big man. He raised a family. He went down south and he had to go around to the back door with his wife. We're not asking for anything. We're not asking for any favors. All we want is what's ours. Now, there are many black veterans who are coming back and they're mad. They're angry. Do you think that they're going to sit down through this? Our fathers didn't have the knowledge that we have. They sat through it. But there are other black youth that are not going to sit through it. We know about Che. We know about Fanon. We've read the books of our revolution. We've listened to Mao and his quotations. We know where we stand. We're not going to sit for it. We're asking, and if we ask and we don't get, we're prepared to stand up and take it. If I ask a man, I tell a man I am hungry. I tell him I am cold. And I ask him to do something about my condition. And this man holds a loaf of bread right in front of me so I can see it. And I keep asking him, I'm begging him, to please give me a slice of the loaf of bread. I am hungry. Then it is known by every psychologist that the next step in the progression is I am going to knock him upside the head and take the bread from him. I'm not going to starve to death. All we're asking, no one wants to see blood. No one likes the smell of blood. No one wants war. Anyone who's been in war doesn't want war. Everyone knows what it is to see the inside of a man's gut hanging out and see your friends die, see relatives die. No one wants to regress back to the state of mind where you have to think it's all for the cause, therefore my mother has to die, my wife has to die, my brothers and sisters have to die. No one wants that. But you're pushing us to it. You're leaving us no choice. We're asking, we're begging. The students up at Columbia, they ask. The brothers down south ask. The brothers in Latin America, the brothers in Africa, they're all asking. All they're doing is asking. Our fathers ask. Our grandfathers ask. The presidents of our universities, our colleges, had to go to your back doors to beg that their children be given just enough money so that they could be taught something to live off. And yet still, they ask and ask and ask, and you refuse to give them anything. Now, we're just about out of patience. We're not going to ask anymore. The news media says that it's only the young that are militant, only the young that want this and want that. Okay, but we're 40% of the black population now. But we were a year ago, and still yet we're climbing. Before long, we'll be 50%, 55%, and then we'll have the command. We're not going to take it. We're not going to take sitting in rotten parks and in places that just aren't fit for living. We're not going to take it. There's a limit to a man's patience, and everyone knows that God, Christ, heaven, everyone knows that what we're asking is not $1 million. What we're asking for is humanity. We're asking to be allowed to live like human beings. And God, you tell us that this is too much to ask. You're sick. You're revolution is filled with so many ironies, really. First, you tell us that it is manly to keep your word, right? If you are a man, you keep your word. And now all of the black people in this country are demanding, and even the black people in the whole world are demanding, is that you keep your word. You told us we were free. Well, then show us that we're free. You told us that there is justice, equality for all in this country. Well, then just stick to your word and let us see the justice and equality for all. Or else admit to us that you're not a man. You're a worm. You're afraid of us. You're afraid to give us equal stand. You're afraid that if you give us equal ground, that we will match you and we will override you. And if that's what you're afraid of us, then tell us that just what you're afraid of. But don't keep hiding it from us and holding this up to us. And every time we ask you for something, you give us a little bit of something. And it's all tokenism. We don't want tokenism. And there are most black men in this world that don't want charity. And yet still every time we ask you for something, you give us a little piece, a little piece. You're playing games with us. We're not children. We're big men. I've seen my father have to put up with all kinds of stuff. He was a big man. He raised a family. He went down south. And he had to go around to the back door with his wife. We're not asking for anything. We're not asking for any favors. All we want is what's ours. Now, there are many black veterans who are coming back, and they're mad. They're angry. Do you think that they're going to sit down through this? Our fathers didn't have the knowledge that we have. They sat through it. But there are other black youth that are not going to sit through it. We know about Che. We know about Fanon. We've read the books of our revolution. We've listened to Mao and his quotations. We know where we stand. We're not going to sit for it. We're asking, and if we ask and we don't get it, we're prepared to stand up and take it. If I ask a man, I tell a man I am hungry. I tell him I am cold. And I ask him to do something about my condition. And this man holds a loaf of bread right in front of me so I can see it. And I keep asking him, I'm begging him, to please give me a slice of the loaf of bread. I am hungry. Then it is known by every psychologist that the next step in the progression is I am going to knock him upside the head and take the bread from him. I'm not going to starve to death. All we're asking, no one wants to see blood. No one likes the smell of blood. No one wants war. Anyone who's been in war doesn't want war. Everyone knows what it is to see the inside of a man's gut hanging out and see your friends die, see relatives die. No one wants to regress back to the state of mind where you have to think it's all for the cause. Therefore, my mother has to die. My wife has to die. My brothers and sisters have to die. No one wants that. But you're pushing us to it. You're leaving us no choice. We're asking, we're begging. The students up at Columbia, they ask. The brothers down south ask. The brothers in Latin America, the brothers in Africa, they're all asking. All they're doing is asking. Our fathers ask. Our grandfathers ask. The presidents of our universities, our colleges, had to go to your back doors to beg that their children be given just enough money so that they could be taught something to live off. And yet still, they ask and ask and ask, and you refuse to give them anything. Now, we're just about out of patience. We're not going to ask anymore. The news media says that it's only the young that are militant, only the young that want this and want that. Okay, but we're 40% of the black population now. But we were a year ago, and still yet we're climbing. Before long, we'll be 50%, 55%, and then we'll have the command. We're not going to take it. We're not going to take sitting in rotten parks and places that just aren't fit for living. We're not going to take it. There's a limit to a man's patience, and everyone knows that God, Christ, heaven, everyone knows that what we're asking is not $1 million. What we're asking for is humanity. We're asking to be allowed to live like human beings. God, you tell us that this is too much to ask. You're sick. You're definitely sick. How can you tell me that it's too much to ask to be a human being?
like to welcome everybody to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We are here broadcasting out of Fresno, California, the Golden West Side of Fresno. It's been a long day, but I'm committed to my community, committed to my people across the country to have a show this evening. For those of you who been watching me earlier, I've been cooking some more collard greens and some more collards and mustards, and so that's been kind of fun. I live streamed a little earlier, just trying to get ready for what's coming at us here. I'd like to give shout outs to some people across the country, freedom fighters across the world who's keeping a good fight going. Fresno, as of today, midnight, is on lockdown. They want everyone to stay in the house. There is some criteria in regards to people not staying in the house. But as I am told, I received a lot of phone calls at midnight tonight, which is probably in about 4 hours, everyone is to be off the street, which sounds like martial law to me. We're going to kind of talk about martial law a little bit, waiting for one of our callers to call in. Let me just send a message to them to let them know that we're on the air. So a little minute ago, I was playing a video clip of a brother who sounded very frustrated living in America. Basically, what I took from his lecture was that he wanted to be treated with dignity and respect. I think as Black people, that is something that we have not received in this country to the best. You know, people, not just Black people, but a lot of people have not been treated fairly in this country. Some people just want to pray about it. You know, I respect that. Some people want to go into direct action about it. I respect that. So I respect all angles. For what people feel that they think we need to move forward in this country. But now we're dealing with this virus right now, supposedly started in China, and now has affected many of American people, which has now brought it from China over to America. And folks are scared. Folks are nervous, are elderly, as vulnerable right now for as their, you know, their lungs, and all of us right now are exposed to this virus, and it's bringing some concerns to me right now for as, you know, where do we go from here? Finger pointing right now, I guess you could do that if that's what you want to do, but right now is survival. You know, we go to the stores, there's no food, there's no water, shelves are empty. It's almost like watching a movie, but you're actually in the movie. And, you know, I went to the store yesterday and I parked, and these two cars parked beside me, and I got out of my truck, and these people just started running. You know, when you see someone run, you get kind of nervous, like, well, what's going on? And come to find out, they were running to get shopping carts just to go in a store. And so when you go in the store, you see people just, you know, frantic. And some people have water in their eyes. Some people are crying. Some people like just don't know what to do. Because I believe that we have lived in America so long that there's certain things we're just used to. We're used to having lights. We're used to having a stove. We're used to having a sink. We're used to having, you know, central heating. But there's folks that live in other countries that do not have those necessities that we have here in America. And so now subject to, you know, PG&E said, well, you know, we're not going to shut off your lights or your gas. But no, you know, when this is all over, whenever that is, you're going to have a high, you know, bill to pay. So hopefully they make payment arrangements with people who has not paid, and maybe some can't pay as they go. And then we're dealing with the piece of people not able to go to work. You know, how are they going to pay for their, how are they going to pay their bills, you know, car insurance, you know, food, little necessities, toilet paper, whatever. I mean, the country, we ran out of toilet paper. I mean, that's just really amazing to me that we've come to this point right now. You know, and then, you know, dealing with the psychological piece of people used to doing, you know, work, you know, having a daily routine of waking up, going to work, that can't go to work because they have asthma or they have some type of respiratory issue. And, you know, they're over 65, so they're more vulnerable to what's going on. So, you know, it's just a situation now where we're taking it day by day. You know, we have to do an assessment on our seniors. We have to do an assessment on our homeless community. I'm reaching out to seniors and homeless folks as well. I decided that I'm going to turn my front yard into a garden and the back. Received some plants today, which from a good friend of mine. Just had an opportunity to just want to bless someone else, you know. just want to bless someone else to be able to, I haven't had a banana today, to be able to to have food for their family, you know. I'm going to grow tomatoes, eggplants, white corn, yellow corn, mustard greens, collard greens. I'm going to grow all of that in my front yard. Now, there are some of you on the Facebook right now that want me to come and help you with your garden. I haven't forgot. I have a list, so we'll be making our rounds to make sure we accommodate you. Some of you want collard greens, mustard greens, and et cetera. And so we'll make sure that you get those vegetables so that we can be able to bless you. So a lot of phone calls I received today in regards to, you know, this, some say martial law, some say there's another name, someone, called shelter. Let me get the right name for it. It was called, okay, City of Fresno locking down at midnight. Essential services will stay open. So I'm assuming that's like, you know, hospital, you know, maybe going to a store, I guess. But there's some criteria that talks about, you know, what that is. But the city council voted today at midnight. The whole city of Fresno will go on lockdown. So that's why people are going out trying to purchase food, and but there is no hardly any food. I didn't go out and buy all this meat and stuff. I just bought a bunch of vegetables and the greens and stuff that I'm cooking. So those of you who want to call in, 516-387-1474, 516-387-1474. I'd like to hear from you this evening. We're not going to have a long show, but not a long show, but a short show tonight. But I kind of want to, people had asked me about what is martial law. And let me get this over here real quick. I'm sorry. What is I'm sorry, my throat got a little dry. What is martial law? And I just want to read to you what martial law is, because some of us feel that Fresno, as well as some of the other states, are going to have martial law in their city. And so, you know, I just want to talk about what is martial law. What is martial law? Now, you can look up this as well on your computer. Just type in what is martial law, and it'll pop up. But, you know, our shows, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show, we're an educational show. Sometimes we're controversial. Sometimes people agree with me. Sometimes people don't agree with me. And that's good that people disagree with me, because when you disagree with me, I learn as well. So I'm not one of those leaders that's always thinking I'm right. I'm a leader that think that I believe what I believe in, but at the same time, if you come from a different perspective, I can respect that, and then I learn from you. So no reason to be intimidated on this show. We just want to be able to use it as an educational piece, not a show that we want to beat up people and degrade. No. That's not what this is about. This is about education, and that we can agree to disagree, right? And we can still keep loving one another. And so that's what I believe in. So if you all believe in that, give me a thumbs up. So I'm just going to talk about martial law real quick. We have some callers on the line. I'm going to be clicking them in right now. Well, let me click them in before I go into the martial law conversation. We have 3366. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey there. How you doing tonight?
Good. Just ready to gain some knowledge and hopefully share some knowledge.
All right. 5172, welcome to the show. 5172, welcome to the show. All right, maybe they're just listening. Okay, so I want to go and talk about the martial law piece, because I believe that a lot of people across the country, phone calls I've been getting from folks, other leaders from other states, we've been watching the news, and there's a lot of conversation. And then as of today, I was told, I received a lot of phone calls that the city of Fresno is locking down at midnight. Essential services will stay open. So we're going to talk more about what that means, what services are going to stay open during Fresno. Let me just mute someone here. There's a lot of noise. Okay. 3366, I think you were making all that noise. Okay. Now, so I'll click you back in. So what I want to talk about is, what is martial law? Okay, I'm going to click them back in case they want to have something to talk. Again, just go to your Google, click in what is martial law, and, you know, some different sites will pop up. What is martial law? Martial law is military law. Martial law is military control of a government that suspends civil authority in various degrees. According to law experts, the original intent was for martial law to be a rare temporary solution for extreme situations such as invasions, widespread disasters, or national or regional emergencies. Government may also invoke martial law if local authorities appear unable or unwilling to enforce the law, including those laws protecting civil rights. Some foreign countries have used martial law as a means to establish dictatorship by a military leader or a politician backed by the military. Okay, so that kind of gives framework about what is martial law. Then there's another to talk about types of martial law. Okay. And I put those links up on the screen there for you to go back at your leisure and kind of go over what that is. So 3366. You live in Fresno. I believe that this information you heard at some point today. As a mother, how does this make you feel? You have children. Do you feel safe? What perspective are you coming from this evening to talk to us about martial law in your city?
Well, if for me, as an African-American mother, as a woman, and me with my kids, I'm thinking about martial law being the government's ability to, if they want to violate my civil rights, to so-called, like, stop something from happening or a disaster or something from spreading or, you know, it's supposed to protect, in one sense, from invasion or, you know, or disaster or emergencies, but temporary emergencies. But I'm really, it kind of turned my stomach a little with some nervousness, thinking that now they have this authority to not acknowledge my civil rights or, you know, even to an extent human rights, and say it's all in the name of protection and the government. And it will it be enforced just like disproportionately, just like the law is applied disproportionately for black people and people of color. So I have some concerns, you know, and if I go against this martial law, you know, I could be court-martialed, you know, I could be arrested, you know. So on the one hand, if it was really to protect and prevent this spread, then I could be okay with it, but I just don't, the history of America don't tell me that's what's going to, you know, take place.
Well, I think the city of Fresno is being very intentional, because they're not actually calling it martial law, but they're calling it a city of Fresno locking down at midnight. But I, you know, like I said, I didn't read the content with the city hall, the verbiage that was given to the community in regards to what does that mean for us, you know, locking it down. I mean, does that mean if, you know, you can't go to the park, or that means that you can only go to the store and back? Does that mean that you can go to work and back? Does that mean if you're driving down a street, police has the legal authority to pull you over and say, where are you going? I mean, what does that really mean? And so maybe what I'm going to do is send an email to our city councilman, Miguel Arias, and ask him to forward me the information of the content of the verbiage of what does locking down at midnight actually mean, and what consequences if someone is out past midnight, what does that mean? Are they going to be arrested? Are they going to be detained? I mean, you know, what does that mean? You know, because this everything is moving so fast right now that no one is really looking at the fine print until after something happens. And so, you know, hoping that, you know, our elected officials, you know, locking down at midnight. But is the lock ever let up? I mean, did anyone say how long the city? I mean, someone told me until March 31st or March 30th when they're going to let this up. I don't know. So for me, just getting this information today brings up a lot of concerns that I need to know so that I can communicate that to our community when they have questions about what does this mean and how does this affect them. I do know that we're going to have a shortage of food here in the city of Fresno. So it's like a spider. It's growing its own legs each and every day. And we're just, you know, learning things as it come. But again, city of Fresno has not called it martial law under the definitions of what I read so the other one I wanted to read was the types of martial law. It says there are two types of martial law. Qualified martial law is when the military assists civilian law enforcement to ensure public safety. This generally occurs when the state and local authorities are unable to control a disturbance or handle the issue that occurred following a natural or man-made disaster. However, these events include large crowds, protests, riots, a fear of looting, or strikes. Absolutely, martial law means the military has taken complete control over all law enforcement. So we want to make sure we're clear with that piece that martial law means if it ever be in effect in Fresno, it doesn't sound like it with the information that I'm reading the definition, but we need to find out what does lockdown mean to what point and how they're going to affect the people here. But martial law, when it's in full effect, it's the military has taken complete control over all law enforcement. So that means that if martial law is implemented here in Fresno, that it will supersede the police department, it will supersede the sheriff department, it will supersede the highway patrol. It's in full capacity. All orders come from the military. I'm not sure if we're going to get there, but there are people concerned right now about seems like it's going that way. So, yeah, I have another caller, 5172. Are you there with us yet? Maybe they just listening to them. We have another caller just called in, 3424. Welcome to Dr. Hasback Lives Matter Show. Good evening. 3424. Mary is just listening this evening. So we have 3 hours before midnight. Man, that's pretty. Man, 3 hours. You know, I never really thought. 3424. Are you there?
I don't know. I guess I am. I'm kind of new at this.
Yes. Hello. I hear you loud and clear.
Oh, great. This is Richard Gomez. How you doing, Rev?
Hey, my good friend. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your support. Running for mayor. We really appreciate your leadership in the community, sir.
No problem. Well, there's a lot, over 2,000. So at least more people voted for you than who left their ballots completely blank, you know.
You know, I was hoping that one day maybe you want to do it tonight. I don't know if you feel like it, but for you to really dissect the mayor race for us, I know you're very high experience with that. Maybe that could be a show for itself, but for the statistics, the data, and all that good information, you're very knowledgeable. But we would like to really bring you back on the show so that you could really educate us about that.
Okay, well, it's a simple education, just a little math. You can use your fingers and toes and all that stuff. But if you want to use a calculator, that's fine, too. No, I mean, the thing about this, a lot of these elections, you get this overvotes and undervotes. Now, I know somebody asked that, and I wrote it out there. An overvote means, for example, if you're voting for one, means you're voting for two or three different people. Now, in some places, some races, you vote for like three or four people, and you wind up, an overvote is when you vote for five or more. But an undervote is when you vote for less. Now, there was something that's been called a NOTA, or none of the above. In some people, some places they do use that. But in this case, when you vote for only one and you're an undervote, that means you left it blank. And when you think of over 2,000, I think about 2,200 people decided to leave that blank. People from the city of Fresno who had an opportunity to vote, they left that blank. Now, the worst part is that the city or the county, they don't count that. They don't care how many people undervoted or overvoted, even though, in a sense, you can say that a voter, or in this case, 2,200 voters in Fresno County decided they didn't like any one of these people. And that's their right when it comes to voting. But by not counting it, in this case, had they been counted, then Dyer would have been under the 50% level. And, well, like I said, maybe things would be different in November. I don't know. But that's one of the problems with this thing. And they never have. You know, they never accepted that. The media has never accepted the idea that, for in this case, it seems like Jerry Dyer won with about 21% of all the voters, all the registered voters in the city of Fresno. Think about that for a second. Say 21 is like a room of 100 people. Only 21 people supported him. That doesn't sound like a majority. And so, because I know when he starts, you know, when he starts talking, he's going to say that, like Donald Trump and others, he said, well, everybody voted for me. He says, well, no, everybody didn't vote for you. In fact, most people didn't vote for you. But, of course, they use the numbers differently than they have for years, which is why I've always believed in a ranked choice voting. It gives people the opportunity to vote for their first choice, second choice, third choice, and whatever, and hopefully get more people to vote. And that was probably the biggest problem. I know there was more people that voted, but we needed to get enough. Even if they didn't all vote for you, which was wrong, but that's another theory, but even if they voted for some of the other people out there, the point being, had they voted, made up their mind or decision for one of the others, we wouldn't have Dyer getting threatened to walk into his coronation or whatever. Well, but anyway, I think I digress. I'm glad you're on the radio show, man. It's just hard sometimes for me to get on this thing with you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I was reading your post when you were typing all that up, and I said, wow, we need to get him on the show to kind of dissect that perspective. And why do you think Jan threw his hat in early to succeed this? I mean, was that – should he have waited?
He's kind of like I think it was more like, you know, when you're a kid and they're choosing up sides and they say, well, you're the last person left, so you might as well go to this side. It was kind of like when they thought about it and they said, who's available? And they looked at most of the people who were already gone and they said, hey, there's Jans. Why don't we have him run? Because, you know, I never got the idea that he was all in on this thing, you know. I mean, I can appreciate the fact that the guy was more worried about his wife and his soon-to-be their lovely daughter. Understandable that. But he didn't seem to – I never got the impression of him that he really was involved outside of the fact that when the county threatened to take his money away or get rid of the access to health care for his own wife giving birth to their kid. Outside of that episode – I didn't really see that much from him. I mean, he should have been on television. He should have been out there. But it wasn't. And I think that was his biggest problem. No visibility out there. Nobody sees him. Of course, in your case, they automatically shut the door on you. And he says, oh, no, we don't want him there. But with Jan's, I mean, I think they said, well, who cares? And he's not coming up. He's not asking them, so they're not going to bite. So that's what I figure, you know. And like I said, he's got a family to raise. So I'm not blaming him for that.
Yeah, I think what was interesting to us was, and you're correct, the Fresno Bee, the surprisingly California advocate, endorsed Dyer, which just blew a lot of us away. But we understand that was a money piece about contracts,
sure,
and all that type of stuff, ads. But the Fresno Bee intentionally did not print our platform. They had our information twice. They refused to print it. We noticed that once we gave our information to the Fresno Bee, that our campaign manager said that our verbiage was also in their verbiage when the Fresno Bee was printed. So they were campaigning one way. She can talk about it more in a second. But Jan never that I know of, debated Dyer on his policy on any level. On the stage, and I believe that was done intentionally to just give an illusion that someone was running, but he never attacked Dyer's policy as a chief of police that I know of.
I think you missed that one. There was a debate. It was put on by the Hmong Association. I remember because I was there with Gloria Hernandez and Rebecca Rangel right behind us. And it was funny because he did, Jans was attacking him, talking about his Dyer's influence for the last 20 years and how the city was going bad. And then Dyer, get this, Dyer replied, well, he had nothing to do with that. So, I mean, it was like he said he was an outsider. To which Gloria and I and Rebecca started laughing so loud that he obviously noticed that we were in the audience. So, anyway.
He said he was an outsider.
Yeah, he said he was an outsider for the last 20 years. He had nothing to do with anything in the city. Yeah. All right. It sounds like you've got yourself another caller out there. So I'll bid you adieu and take care, and you go and talk to them, all right?
All right. Thank you. Call in again, sir. The new numbers came out for the county today again for the mayor race. But we're still in third place. And so anyway, we just have to build from there. Mr. Go, are you still there? He hung up. Okay. Yeah. So 5172,
yes.
Are you there? 5172.
Hello?
Hello? I hear you.
Okay. I was having some problems.
Okay. All right. Welcome to the show, one of our longtime stakeholders in the community.
Thank you.
Your thoughts about this, you know, lockdown in three more hours? I mean, is that something that make you feel safe? This is not titled it martial law under the definition, but it's close to it. What are your thoughts about that right now?
Well, for me, being the age that I am in my 60s, I've seen a lot. And some people would say that my beliefs are mainly conspiracy theories, but this is my take on what is happening. Okay, so we have a worldwide pandemic. We have a president who dismantled the pandemic response team when he first took office and limited the response of the CDC. So then you have all of that trickle down into states and cities. And now you have an outbreak, a pandemic that is going to eliminate the most vulnerable in our society, the elderly, the homeless, the poor. You have a society that is not doing testing. I heard this afternoon on KFCF that initially, the state of California only had 2,000 test kits. we are one of the most populous state, or the most populous state in the union, with 2,000 virus test kits. So that's the first thing that's wrong to me. But this limiting of movement is always, has always been a way to contain and eliminate people. Remember, now they're already caging people at the southern border. So this is a way to keep people in place and to be able to track them for me. Now, I understand that we have to control this and we have to limit and we have to wash our hands and not touch our faces and all of that. But I don't think that the powers that be are giving voice to the voiceless. There has been no effort to house the homeless in a more timely manner. And you even have activists who are going at each other about why one is not doing more for the community, when all of us who are, you know, active in our communities should be able to stand on our own record. So I'm concerned that the government is telling citizens where they can and cannot go and when they can and cannot go. I'm concerned that churches are closing their doors but not mobilizing to get supplies to their congregants. So these are the things that I'm seeing down the road, that this is a way to eliminate a large proportion of our community. And I'm concerned by that, very concerned by that.
Okay. So call it 3366. Can you go into a little of the conversation of what you know about, is there anyone in Fresno County who's been tested? I did hear the governor, I read some information that they said that the test kits that came, a lot of them are missing parts and different things, as a last caller had stated, we don't have enough. But he specifically said that when they received the test kits, that a lot of the pieces are missing. I mean, I know California was not a state that voted for Donald Trump. If I'm wrong, someone can please correct me. So I'm not saying that that was the reason why they came back, you know, not complete. But we do know California was a state that did not support Donald Trump. What are your thoughts? What do you have heard right now that's going on in the community with the testing?
So far, I haven't heard anything about testing. I believe the only way is if you go in with symptoms that you're saying, you know, you believe that you may have the coronavirus. And if it's more updated information about the testing site that any of our listeners have heard, please share that information. The only thing that came out with the county was that there were two confirmed cases of coronavirus in Fresno County.
That's right.
So that's the only thing I've heard thus far, but haven't heard about testing or testing kits. And if I'm not mistaken, Donald Trump had denied getting those testing kits from the World Health Organization.
Yes, that's right.
So what I'm doing now for our listening audience, I'm posting some information that you had given to us earlier. They can read that at their leisure. I just think that it's important that we share information when we get it to our good people. Now, what does this mean about the cities on lockdown? So we have 3 hours and 2 minutes before the city is on lockdown. A lot of people are nervous, scared, don't know what that's going to take, what tomorrow's going to look like. Can we still go to the park? Can we still take a walk around the block, or do we just have to like put chains around our doors? And or I mean,
they're not enforcing it that way, according to the mayor. What they're doing is that they're asking that people self-quarantine unless they absolutely have to go out. If you have to go to work, go to work. If you have to pick up medication, go pick up the medication. If you have to buy food supplies, go do that. But don't go out for leisure. Don't go out and try to spend time at a restaurant, because those are all shut down except for takeout or delivery. So it's not official martial law.
I just wanted to add, I'm sorry,
that
article today said outdoor activities such as walking, hiking, and running are still okay as long as residents practice social distancing. City parks remain open and are not collecting parking fees.
Right.
And non-essential businesses will be closed, but essential businesses will still be open. And they differentiated it, but, yeah, not martial law yet, but.
But this is like the first step, I would say.
Yeah.
To being that. Too.
Okay. I'm just posting some information up here so people can have an opportunity to read it, go through it, dissect it. So I think it's important that we share information, you know, with our
absolutely
community. You know, it's interesting that I'm only one person, and I think people think that I can be at 10 places at once. It's just really, you know, and if I'm not somewhere, it's not that I don't care. It's just that there's so much going on. I mean, there's enough work for everyone to spread around. And
Beating hands makes the light work.
Whatever you do best, do it, you know. Don't wait on me, just go do it. And so okay, because I was under the impression that, you know, well, not I, but people calling me saying, you know, you can't go out, can't go get no fresh air. It's like you got to sneak outside. You go outside, it's like you're going to get arrested, you know, type conversation people are talking to me about. And I said, well, I don't think it's that, you know, but I said, we'll have to check. I think we need to
It's not that yet, Rev. I think what people are not understanding, and I don't think the authorities are getting this across correctly, is that if you could be asymptomatic, have no symptoms, and I'm talking about younger people, you know, millennials and Gen X people 50 and under. They could be asymptomatic, have the virus, and pass that virus along to the grandparents, the great-grandparents, the infants in the house. And so people are trying to limit exposure and not have it be in a panic way. But I don't think that people really understand what this is about. Like all the college kids that are in Florida now partying for spring break. Those children should be at home with their parents, you know. And if they go home now, and if they have the virus, they could give it to their parents or grandparents. So
well, my son is on his way back. He'll be here tomorrow.
Right. Exactly. That's where he should be. We should be with our family members. So,
well,
you know what concerns me, though, folks, is I want to find out what people of color, black people specifically, are doing to make sure that they can ride this out in a healthy way. That's one of the reasons I wanted to call in, because I want to find out what are black folks doing, because we know about survival.
Well, you know, I was driving up by Woodward Park today, and after driving out on Friant, I said, maybe the people up north didn't get the memo that we're in a crisis situation. People are walking their dogs, two or three dogs, that they have their tights on and riding bikes, and they're all at Whitwell Park. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here saying, did I miss something here? What's going on? And so it was like this nonchalant, like there's nothing going on. Mm-hmm. And then I get a call, oh, the city's going to be on lockdown at 12 o'clock.
You know? Right.
Like, the folks
right.
in North Fresno, it's like they're just walking around like everything is okay.
Well, things are not okay. I saw on Facebook where the Boys and Girls Club in Southwest Fresno was shutting down. And those children, you know, where are they going to go? They'll be at home, or they'll be at their, you know, foster parents or their grandparents or whatever. But they won't have the club. They won't have that social interaction. And if they don't have computers in their homes, how are they going to reach out and do anything online? So it's hard.
Right. Right. So White just wrote a statement. They are putting fear in the people now, but I do understand why they're doing it. But I believe it is limited to what you can do now. Joyce says maybe they know something we don't know. So, I mean, it's a lot of different perspectives about what's going on and who's doing what and blah, 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 blah. And I just made a executive decision here in my home that I'm going to plant food.
Mm-hmm.
We all can play a part, you know, whatever that part is. You know, it could be reading a book to an elder. I don't know. But I'm just talking about when
mm-hmm.
I'm older, I'm going to take my yard and I'm going to plant, you know, the Freedom School way, you know, corn, white
mm-hmm.
corn, tomatoes, eggplants, bell peppers, chili peppers, you know. And then when that harvest comes, I'm going to let everybody on my block to know to come down here to the Freedom School satellite executive office, farmer's market, and come get some free vegetables, because I think that, you know, that'll be a blessing if someone can come
mm-hmm.
and get something free to bless.
Absolutely. Isn't your cousin doing the same thing in LA?
Yes, he is. He is. And I was telling our colleague today about that and how we need to connect with him again to build a pipeline from Fresno to LA, partnering and collaborating, you know. And maybe, you know, by me doing this in my yard would inspire someone else to say, hey, you know, I want to plant a tomato plant in my flower bed, you know. And so I'm just hoping that it will kind of spread like wildfire across the community, where people can say, hey, you know, I got this hedge here and all it is for looks. I'd rather have a tomato plant
mm-hmm.
that I can put in my salad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I'm – so Crystal just wrote, you need to check our temperatures, wash your hands when you come in from outside, make sure you take your clothes out of – make sure you take your clothes, take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do not live there, do not go there. If you live there,
oh.
you need to be there. That is what I think. I think that, you know, it is time for families to get together and be families and stay inside and do things as family. And like I said, you do not live there. You should not be at their home. See, White says we are the where White said we're the greens and cornbread at tonight. Oh my goodness. well my sister, I cooked another pot of okay, I'm about to show y'all.
Oh Lord.
Okay, all right.
Show the food.
All right, there he is right there. I just cooked a big another pot of greens. You see it right there. I got to put all my vegetables and everything in it. And so, anyway, I just had to show out for a minute. Here's all my bananas over there and all the table of life. That's what I call it.
Good deal.
But anyway, just getting back to the show. Hey, Nicole. So so I posted, thanks to, well, thank everyone for their comments, but also thanking Maria for researching that information and giving it to us. Researching that information and giving it to us about the parks and what have you. We need to make sure we do an assessment on our seniors and our elders to make sure that, you know, we're making sure that they're not getting a fever, making sure they have enough water.
Doing
an assessment on our homeless community, certain areas, checking on them, seeing how they're doing. I mean, right now we have to be our brothers and sisters keepers right now. This is very, very,
That's right. That's right. Well, I got some information from one of my nephews this weekend. He was saying that he was told that we should try to purchase Gatorade or anything with electrolytes, especially for senior citizens. And I was at the store twice this past weekend. There was no Gatorade on any shelf. Finally, at the Vallarta over by Clinton and 99, I was able to buy some small bottles of something called electrolyte. And there were only six bottles there. And I bought the six, and I shared them with another elderly woman that's in our family. You know, it's hard, and we don't know when it's going to get better, because now they're saying that the schools are not going to probably be in until the fall. This is March. That's a long time.
Yeah, it is. It is. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to post this on the show tonight, if you all don't mind, because I think this is what Maria was telling me about the other night, about this Fresno area. Okay. I'm going to post this right here for everyone to research. It's a new website that came out with resources, and we just want to make sure that we share the resources with our community. Fresno Area Emergency.
Sister Maria.
Maria, is that
the one
you were talking
with
about?
All the community?
I'm sorry.
Resources? Is that the one with all the community resources?
Article. No, they have a Fresno Beat article that came out a couple of days ago. I'm going to find the link and share it.
Okay. If you look on the show, I just posted something that says Fresno Area Emergency Resource, COVID 19 spot.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That's been a lot of good information.
Okay. So, to all of our listeners and followers right now, I just posted Fresno Area Emergency Resource. Please go through that link in detail. There's a lot of resources on there. For our community, if you may know someone that may need some resources, could be young, old, elderly, you know, friends, whatever, share that with them. Go through that. You know, we want to just make sure we do our part. We would love to save the world, and I'm probably crazy enough to think I can, but the reality, I can't. But we can post information on this site here so that you could go and at your leisure and help educate someone else. And
could I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Has any of the local foundations or other activists reached out to you personally to say, can we have a sit down and a forum, even if it was on virtual, Skype, or whatever, to sit down and talk about what the various communities need?
Yeah, you know, Brother David called me Saturday. I was driving and had an opportunity to talk to him. He was saying that they were trying to build some type of coalition under the circumstances of what's going on here, but it seemed like folks wanted to kind of just do what they can when they can. He says that the Freedom School, he wanted to make sure that they kept us in the loop for what we can help bring to the table. So I told him, I think it's something we need to revisit, that conversation, and see, you know, I mean, we're stronger together. You know, we know that we can do things individually, but we're stronger together. And so, yeah, it was a conversation, but it sounded like from Brother David, they couldn't really pull it together, but people were going to do what they could do individually. But I still think, like you say, maybe we could still have a conference call or something, a check-in. Crystal just asked a good question. Where are the homeless people going to go? I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, Washington.
Yeah, supposedly they have 357 beds that they're going to put into effect. But it's like, if they could do it now, why couldn't they do it, you know, 5 months ago, a year ago?
Say that, sis. Say that.
Right.
I mean, put them, but that means you could probably put twice that many. If you can do 357 right now on the spot, then you can do twice that many, I bet.
That's right.
Yeah.
They've got that whole VMC facility that's just sitting there. That whole facility's just sitting there.
Right. Yeah, well, the county is over that piece. That's the Board of Supervisors. And I've been saying that for many years, is that the city of Fresno do not deal with mental health. That is Fresno County. You know, the city of Fresno can deal with housing, affordable housing, you know, whatever. But when you get to that component of health, that's the county. And the county, from my perspective, have done a horrible job, a sorry job. But
yeah, they have.
They'll build that new wing on that jail downtown. Yet they won't buy no portable showers that they can tour around the city, which was part of our campaign running for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
They won't get any porta potties, a mobile unit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that we can do right in this city if we want to do it. But again,
if we want to do
it may not be the right political thing to do in the eyesight of those who are in political office. So that's what makes us different from them. You know, we're about community, we're about equality. We all know that there's no equality in Fresno at all. You know, especially when you start
that is
talking
true.
Southwest Fresno and how we be treated down here. No one cares but us here in the city.
Mm-mm.
And I, let me take that back. I think Miguel Arias do care. I think he's cut from a different cloth. I will say that than most people have been in a district seat, council seat. But like I said, we just hope and pray that he stays strong and do not bend, because it's easy to bend.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to bend. But to stay straight and strong, it takes a lot of guts and a lot of courage. So we're going to, about at the end of our show here, we're just going to ask that people please go and look at those resources that we posted on the show tonight, because that's for you. We did that for you because we love you. You said, well, how can you love me and you never see me? Well, you bleed red, I love you, okay? Now, if you're bleeding purple or yellow, then we have a problem. But we know you're
in the California Endowment. California Endowment have resources, help with rent assistance, where food can be found. So California Endowment. United.
United what?
United Way.
United Way. Okay. Did you post that
United
somewhere?
Way. Contact United Way. Yes, I will.
Okay. All right. I'm going to wait for her to post that, and we're going to go ahead and post that on the show, and then we're going to be at the end of our show. But again, we're just asking everybody. I just read something about the city of Fresno just sent out. I don't know where I just read that at. But anyway, it was talking about making sure that you wash your hands, you know, putting your hand in your mouth and all that stuff. Let's do what we can do, you know, to help get through this crisis right now. It's going to take all of us to encourage one another, to be there for one another, check on our seniors, you know, check on our homeless folks. We'll be doing an assessment on that this week because they're part of our community and we're a part of them. And we just want to make sure that we share the love across the board. We are our brothers and sisters keepers. That's just the bottom line of it. And also, I want to thank all of you who came out to our campaign party at Bobby Salazar. It was an interesting night, but we got through it. And thank my daughter right now, Chanel, who's on the live stream watching us. I want to thank my little baby for being there for her daddy. And she's a daddy girl. And she's like a little piranha. like a little piranha when it comes to her daddy. So we just thank God for her. Okay, let me post this on the site real quick. I want to make sure you all have this information about food, services. Now, did you give me that information, Maria, in regards to the small business loans, and you were telling me something about that today? Maria? Okay, maybe she hung up. Okay, let me post this here. Let's see.
Hello,
here.
I'm here. What was the question?
Did you send me the information about the small business loans you're telling me about?
It's not small business loans, but they were talking about businesses. And if they, if small businesses had closed, just seeking relief as far as unemployment. I believe there, I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but a lot of the links led to unemployment. Apply even if you are scheduled to return back to work. Apply if you know, had a small business. So.
Okay.
So different relief trying to come down the pipeline.
Great, great. Well, we have a lot of people listening tonight, and we have Irene there. Hey, little sister Irene. Haven't talked to you in a while, Milton. Again, we'll be here tomorrow night. Dr. Has Black Lives Matter show, sharing knowledge and wisdom during this crisis time right now. Make sure we check on our elders, our seniors, our homeless community. We're going to keep digging and researching resources for everybody. I'd like to make a flyer, if we can, to where we can just hand this out, you know, during our course of the day, or, you know, take it down to the donors, whatever. Put it on a telephone post so that, you know, people just doing something to help empower, inspire, you know, everyone else, because it's going to take all of us. Okay, we're going to, okay,
that's right.
We just had a caller come in. 3205, welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show.
Dr. Harris, Brother Bullock, how you doing this evening?
Oh, man, we saved the best for last. All right now.
Trying to get through to you is like pulling teeth lately, my brother.
Man, you know I'm the most sensitive man in the whole nation, man.
Hey, you know, they peeping, they watching, they creeping, they looking. But that's okay.
Yeah.
We got some form.
Yeah, well, you know, when you speak truth to power, you don't sell out. That's the type of treatment you get.
Exactly.
But talk to us tonight, man. Yeah, tell us, we're about at the end of our show, but talk to us. Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, look here. You know, my nephew just rolled through here to holler at me, and he was breaking it down to me about how the city is getting ready to go on lockdown at midnight. I say, well, I say, you know, y'all little mayor, Lee Brand, the old fake who getting ready to give it up to the new fake, he figures that if he locks everybody down, put everybody in place, this will make these folks' job a little bit easier to censor and to put an eye on certain folks. Because I particularly find it strange that our president, who once said, oh, this is really nothing, this will pass in 2 weeks, then it became, oh, this is really nothing, it'll pass by April. Now he didn't have to come out and actually say what it is. It's a pandemic. That was an epidemic that you let get out of control because you sat back and did nothing.
That's right.
You played the role. Now you got folks who run the risk of losing their homes, losing what little career they had. You got colleges shutting down, putting kids out saying, you ain't got to go home, but you got to leave here because we can't do nothing with you. Now we got the top three car manufacturers shutting down plants. What's really going on? What's really going on? What are we getting ready to become?
You know, Marvin Gaye came up with that song and said, what's going on?
What's going on?
Now, you know, that wasn't during my time now.
I'm going to tell you this, like they said, the old school days, ain't nobody here but us chickens, and we showing up watching the fox in his garden, the hen house. Some in the water don't compute.
Listen, y'all talking over Maria head right now. You know, she don't know what y'all talking about.
Hey, I'm telling you, something in the water don't compute, because I find it very strangely that...
Yeah, I don't know what y'all talking about.
Well, you know, we'll break it down to you. You know, that way you can just move along, because, you know, we understand you youngsters. We have to drag y'all along kicking and screaming, but at least y'all come along.
Right.
But, you know, the thing
okay,
is that,
Boomer.
Yeah. You know, the thing is right now we had a very challenging time, and people need to understand that right now the way this may tilt, ain't no telling what's going to happen in America. Are we going to be able to come back from this? Or is this going to be something that it's going to take us 2, 3, 5, 20 years to get back up from under? Because here was a man that couldn't even run a casino. He trying to run the country? Notice, this is not the first time we had an epidemic. We had the swine flu. We had Legionnaire's disease. We've had polio. We've had things hit this country in epic portions. And somehow every other president rose to the challenge and faced it head on. This cat here threw his hands up and said, ain't nothing I can do. Ain't my fault. Obama caused this to happen. Notice it's always the black man that's the cause of the issue with this guy.
Right, right.
But the sad thing is, there are a lot of people out there talking about how he's not be given a fair chance, but every time a crisis comes along, he does not step forward to handle business. Now, if that's not the mark of non-leadership, I don't know what is. But
well said.
Now, when it comes to this coronavirus, I find it strange that basketball players, actors and actresses, politicians, somehow they can get their hands on a test and get tested. Let me get sick and see what happens. Do you think I can go down there and get a test? You think it's going to be that easy for me? Again, so I'm in the water, don't confuse. And what about our homeless population? Who's looking out for them? It's a little cold out there tonight. Who's looking out for these people? All these empty hotels we have around town. You mean to tell me Mayor Lee Brand, Arias, none of these cats on the Board of Supervisors or the City Council, none of them sat back and said, hey, you know what? We got some old hotels over here on 99. Let's open them up, turn the water and the heat on, and move these folks in there. Get them off the street.
And
we couldn't do that.
Do it.
Exactly. We couldn't do this. We couldn't do that for the least of our people. Come on, man.
Only in America.
And this little fake election that went down, you mean to tell me Jan's going to get out there and pretend to run? And then throw his hat in? Oh, never mind. I don't want to go to the end. We know that Jerry won. And you don't think that don't look suspicious?
Right.
And
right.
Maybe it's just me. But I haven't heard anything said from his camp in the newspaper other than, well, you know, we ran a good race. You ain't suspicious about nothing? Nothing? You cool with everything? Come on, boy. You know that dog don't hunt. Something ain't right.
Yeah. Well, you know, the new statistics came out today that showed we're still in third place, which is good, which says a strong message that, you know, people do believe in what we're doing and what we're saying.
Exactly.
You just don't come in third place just because, you know, so it was a good experience. You know, it was a good experience.
You know, that it was. It was a very good teaching experience. And the thing about that is this. It lets you know that people are paying attention. They are listening to your message. As much
right.
as people want to try to silence you and say, and I love this, because I've had to hear this. Hey, yo, man, how you supporting that cat? Because he don't do nothing but stir up trouble. So your definition of stirring up trouble is a man who stands up and speaks out for those who can't stand up and speak out for themselves. That's stirring up trouble. Well, you know, sometimes, man, you just got to let it be what it is. But if you can help it be a better situation, isn't it your job to stand up and speak out? Not only that, this is a man of God. I have a question. Where are you other men of God? How come y'all not standing with this man? Why do y'all act like whatever he doing going to rub off on you and you can't get it off? You know, my thing is you may need some of the rub off on you because some of y'all need a little fortitude. You know, y'all out here talking and barking, but you ain't saying nothing. But I digress. I ain't going to pick on them other folks right now.
Well,
they know who they are.
What I'm doing now is I'm just for you know FYI, I'm going to post the election results on the page right now so everybody can take a look and see what the vote count is. You see that I'm at 2.29%, 2,254 vote. So we in third place. And you know, there was three black men running, and it was just sad that
exactly.
we couldn't highlight that.
Do you know how historic that is?
Right.
Yes, we
That's
do.
History making. That's history making.
Right.
And this little raggedy bird, Fresno, California, the Mississippi of the West, that's history making.
Right.
And our black newspaper could not endorse not one of those black men.
Did not have the heart to do it. Now, that right there is really sad. And it actually hurts me because I grew up with this newspaper, supported it all my life. And to see that right there happen, hey, man, that's a slap in the face. That right there, that cut me to the quick. Because not only did you not support any of the black candidates, you did not support your own folks. You tried to bamboozle us. You tried to play it off like, well, you know, they don't have what you need, but follow me to the promised land because I got somebody that can do something for you. You know, that's always been our problem, selling out. That's always been our problem. You know, I don't see.
Well, we're at the end of our show. I'm just posting these election results on my Facebook page, and I put it on our show tonight as well.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, Reverend. I'm going to always be there with you. You know, having met you has been a positive thing for me. So, brother, anytime you need, all you got to do is holler. I'm there.
Yes, sir. We thank you for doing the podcast, all the good work you did for us. And it was just a blessing to see sister get a new phone that I've been trying to get for 4 years.
All right.
Hey, trust and believe. All right. We are not done because I'm still in the cut. We still got work to do.
All right. I know where some of y'all live.
Now that we done brought my sister into the 21st century, she gonna be there right with us.
Oh Lord!
All right, well, we're gonna say
goodnight
to everybody. And it was a good show tonight, very educational show. And I'm gonna try to work on making a flyer to get a lot of these resources on the flyer, and so we can still work in our community. Just because the mayor race is over with doesn't mean that I stop. Just because the mayor race doesn't mean that we stop. Just because the mayor race is over with, you know, we still have work to do in our community. And so we're going to continue to do that. We're going to build one brick at a time. That's how you make a fence, you know, one brick
at a time.
Yes, sir. And I want to thank y'all, love you all, and we'll see you all tomorrow night.
All right. Have a good one. Appreciate you. Power to all people.
Good night.
Stay black till we get back.